You've got credit questions? I've got answers. I'm Jerry Dentweiler, and this is Talk Credit Radio. We're live every week and on the web 24/7 at talkcreditradio.com. Welcome back. Well, do you have credit report problems? Ever found a mistake that you can't figure out how to straighten out, or maybe debt collectors are calling you? Well, if so, I have the expert for you today. Robert Brennan is an attorney with 20 years of experience in consumer credit damage lawsuits. He sues debt collectors, and a lot of times he wins, and he's an expert on many aspects of consumer credit law. And he also happens to be the co-author of the California edition of my book, Debt Collection Answers, How to Use Debt Collection Laws to Protect Your Rights. Welcome, Bob.
Well, and thank you very much, Sherry. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, Bob, I want to start in the first segment. I want to talk about credit report disputes. And then in the second, I want to talk about dealing with debt collectors. Both of these issues are affecting a lot of consumers these days. Let's start with credit reports. You know, someone gets their credit report. There's a problem on it. What's the right way to go about disputing a mistake?
Well, okay. What you need to do is you need to send a certified letter to the credit bureaus. Positively, do not use their online dispute processing mechanism, because number one is you have no record of having made the dispute, and you need to have a record of having made the dispute. And number two, what most people don't know is when they use the online dispute mechanism provided on the websites of the credit bureaus, you are inadvertently agreeing to binding arbitration if you have to go forward with the case for the Fair Credit Reporting Act.
And so that means, explain what that means, Bob.
Well, what that means is consumers under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and Congress intended it this way, have a right under the Constitution to have their case heard, you know, by a judge and with a jury. And that's, most consumer advocates, myself included, believe that that's the way to go with one of these cases. When you get put into binding arbitration, you are often shuffled or funneled in front of a single arbitrator who knows where the money is coming from. In short, he knows who's paying him. He knows which side of the toast his butter is on, that being the credit bureau, and that's going to be the person who's deciding your dispute. And obviously, not in all cases, but in many cases, the amount of damages, the amount of compensation in a arbitrated case is far, far lower than what you would get from a jury of your peers who are applying their common sense and applying their practical wisdom to resolve the issue. Arbitration is very, very unfair to consumers, and it's a raging debate. You know, those of us who are working in the legal field or in consumer protection know about it. Basically, the companies, want their stoolies and their stooges to the major corporations like Experian, TransUnion. They want their paid for stooges basically deciding these cases as opposed to an independent, free-thinking jury.
Okay, so if you've disputed something and you've sent in your dispute by mail, what happens next? Does it just get fixed or not get fixed?
Let me fill in a couple little tidbits for your listeners, and I hope that this helps. When you prepare your letter to the credit bureaus, obviously keep your letter very professional. You have to send it certified mail so you have a record of when it is received by the credit bureaus. What we recommend that consumers do is to run a copy of the credit report and then go through and circle the inaccurate information which needs to be corrected. So, for instance, let's say hypothetically Bob Brennan has a credit card with let's say Shell Oil Company. I'm just using that, I really don't, but, I'm just using that as an example. So the Shell Oil credit line, shows that I'm late in a payment. When I'm not late in a payment, I've got a recent billing statement, or I've got a letter from Shell Oil Company saying I'm not late in the payment. So what I do is I go through, I take a copy of the credit report, and I take the page which has the Shell Oil, trade line. I circle it. And I include any other information or evidence I have, like, for instance, my recent statement from Shell Oil Company. And then I send that to the credit bureaus where it's reporting. One thing which you undoubtedly know, but which your readers may or may not know, is it may be reporting on, for instance, Experian, but it is not reporting on Equifax or TransUnion and vice versa. I mean, it's not necessarily reporting on all three credit bureaus. You send it to the bureau where it is reporting. You send it certified mail. And then what the credit bureaus and what the furnishers, that means the creditors, the people who provide the credit information to the bureaus, what they have 30 days under the law to reinvestigate the dispute and to correct or modify or update the information. Now, truthfully, many times it does work. Many times, you know, you dispute it, you provide some information. In theory, the credit bureaus are supposed to forward the information, you know, down to the creditor. They rarely forward all of the information. What they usually forward is some, you know, coded message containing at least a generalized statement of the dispute. But, you know, they send that down to the creditor, and the creditor will often, you know, just for whatever reason, they will agree to modify it or change or delete the derogatory information on your credit report. We always advise the clients not only to send the dispute letter to the credit bureaus, but also to CC a copy to the creditor. It's not a guarantee, but it increases the chances that the creditor is going to have the information right in front of them to help correct the credit report, because the coded information that the credit bureau sends to the creditors is not always sufficiently clear or sufficiently descriptive of the dispute to permit the furnishers to really know what's going on or why you're disputing it.
Okay, so it sounds to me like, Bob, what you're saying is you want to put your dispute in writing, you want to make sure you include the relevant documentation that you have to back up your side of the dispute, you want to send it certified mail to the credit reporting agency and that has the wrong information listed, and you want to send a copy to the creditor or the company that's furnishing the wrong information as well.
That's correct.
Okay, so what happens if they come back and say, sorry, it's correct as we have it, and you know that it's not correct?
You need at that point to seek out the services of an attorney who specializes in the Fair Credit Reporting Act. There are, I want your readers to know, there are other avenues you can take, and probably the best one, short of filing a lawsuit, is to file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission. It is FTC.gov. You can go online and you can file it online, and that is one where there is no problem with filing your problem online. But you can try that. I've had a few consumers who tried to, you know, go the FTC.gov route with the Federal Trade Commission before they went and consulted with an attorney. In some occasional instances, it has helped out. I don't want to promise it or hold it out as any kind of sure fix, because there is no sure fix in these situations.
And the Federal Trade Commission, just to explain, does not get involved in trying to resolve your individual dispute. I mean, they're looking mainly for a pattern of problems with a particular company to take action.
That is true, but I have known a couple instances. A few instances, and again, I don't want to state it too often. I don't think it happens too often, but sometimes, if you make a complaint to the Federal Trade Commission, maybe it falls into a pattern that the Federal Trade Commission is aware of that is happening with TransUnion or Experian or something like that, and then they're going to pick up the phone and Experian or TransUnion is going to fix it. I personally don't necessarily recommend to my clients that they go to the Federal Trade Commission, but sometimes, you know, people come to me and they have credit report problems, and, you know, they're afraid of filing a lawsuit, and that's not an uncommon reaction to the thought of filing a lawsuit.
So
go out and try a letter or an online dispute with the Federal Trade Commission and see if it helps. Sometimes it does. I would say it happens rarely, but sometimes it does work out.
So what happens, Bob, if they do decide to pursue a lawsuit? What can they expect?
Oh, you know, these lawsuits, I think the consumers are often pleasantly surprised. A lot of times consumers come to an attorney and all they really want is to get the credit report cleaned up. In almost all of the cases that we sign up, not only do we get the credit reports entirely cleaned up, but we also get damage awards from my clients, and sometimes those damage awards are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, if the clients have had a particularly long history of, you know, having an identity theft or having a, you know, really, really awful negative information on the credit reports, or they have a history of many, many unsuccessful disputes with the credit bureaus or with the creditors, with the furnishers of the information, a lot of times judges and juries are mad, and sometimes the cases can turn out very well for the consumers. There's also a provision in the Fair Credit Reporting Act providing that for a winning consumer, the attorney's fees are paid by the other side. One thing that your readers or your listeners should know is that the Fair Credit Reporting Act not only covers the credit bureaus like Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, but it also covers the furnishers and the creditors, you know, the ones who provide the information to the credit bureaus, like, you know, Visa card, like, you know, your mortgage company, like, you know, any group or entity that provides information or furnishes information to the credit bureaus would also be covered by the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And you can pursue a lawsuit against one or both. I mean, in many of our lawsuits, we pursue not only the credit bureaus which are reporting the false or inaccurate information, but we're also pursuing, you know, the furnishers, the ones who are providing the information to the credit bureaus and are being notified about it and are refusing to straighten it out.
There was a recent article, Bob, in the New York Times about a woman who cannot get a job because her file keeps getting mixed up with someone who has a felony and serious, you know, problems listed on their credit reports. And so I think it's important to understand that, you know, sometimes these problems, these credit report problems, can spill over in a lot of ways into your financial life, make it impossible to get a mortgage or a car loan or refinance or you know, do a lot of different things that are important in our financial life. So it is important that consumers know their rights.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time educating a lot of attorneys about this, and I'm really, as a public service, I'm thinking about extending, you know, my, you know, educational efforts to high schools and colleges. I mean, you know, to me, and by the way, Jerry, I know that you, you know, spend a lot of your professional time educating consumers and, you know, all types of consumers, and your consumers should know that that is an incredibly valuable service. I mean, back, you know, I'm almost 52 years old. I mean, back when I went to high school, I mean, you know, we took a civics class and it taught us basically, you know, what voting was and what a representative democracy was. And I mean, that's obviously all very important, information. But, you know, nowadays, I mean, you know, part of your first aid kit, you know, part of your 10 essentials for, you know, living in this society is, you know, knowing about your credit report, knowing how to, you know, keep an eye on it to make sure that it stays accurate, knowing what your rights and responsibilities are with respect to your credit report. I mean, that lady in New York, I mean, that's one story of thousands that I have heard of people who, you know, have been denied insurance, people who've been denied employment. I mean, if you have a dirty credit report, whether or not it's your bad information, you will not get certain jobs. I mean, any jobs that involve a secure clearance at a bank or a financial institution, many government jobs, both you know, state and federal and local governments, anything in law enforcement, you will not get those jobs. If you have one of those jobs and your credit report gets dirty, you could lose that job, or you could be put on suspension, or you could be denied promotions. I mean, and that's just in the employment arena. I mean, you get over into credit, you know, being denied credit, being denied favorable credit terms, having to pay twice as much for your mortgage, you know, being denied insurance, you know, and now, one of the pioneer areas in this whole thing is medical information. I mean, more and more, personal, sensitive medical information is online. You know, that there is a legitimate business purpose. You know, a health insurer certainly wants to know if someone has a chronic condition, you know, before they issue any kind of health insurance or life insurance. You know, but at the same time, I mean, you know, if someone's applying for a job, I really don't think that the, you know, prospective employer has any business finding out what is in the person's medical records.
Well, we did a show previously, Bob, about employment and credit reports, and a lot of employers are looking at credit reports when they evaluate job applicants. We're going to go into break in just a moment, so I'm going to have you hold what the thought you were talking about, and when we come back, I also want to make sure that we talk about what your rights are if a debt collector is harassing you, because this is a huge problem. The numbers of complaints that come into the Federal Trade Commission about debt collection harassment just continue to rise. They aren't slowing down, and it's really important for someone who's getting a phone call to know exactly what to do when that debt collector calls. So stay tuned. You're listening to Talk Credit Radio. I'm Jerry Detweiler. Talk Credit Radio is brought to you by YouCanRefi.com. If you've had trouble refinancing your mortgage because the value of your home has dropped, you'll need to know about a special program that may allow you to refinance into a low-cost, affordable, fixed-rate mortgage. even if you currently owe more than your home is worth. This program is available for your primary residence, second home, or even investment homes. To find out if you qualify, contact the mortgage educators at youcanrefi.com. Call them at 888-777-YOUCAN or visit them online at youcanrefi.com for a free no-obligation consultation. And by credit.com. Credit.com's free identity risk score uses the same technology that Fortune 100 companies use to detect and avoid fraud to help you understand your risk of being targeted by fraud. And it's completely free with free updates. You can detect potential misuse of your identity and gain insight into how your data may be at risk. Again, it's free and secure at credit.com. We're talking credit report problems and debt collection problems. My guest is Robert Brennan. He's an attorney with a law firm at Brennan Associates. And Bob, before we continue, I want to make sure I give out your website and your contact information.
Sure, Jerry. It's www.brennanlaw.com. That's one of my main websites. I've got a couple others. I'm in Southern California. I'm in Los Angeles, and you can plug in SoCal credit damage, SoCal identity theft, or SoCal debt collection abuse, all.com. So it'll be www.socalcreditdamage, all one word, SoCal identity theft, or SoCal debt collector abuse.
And one of the things I really like on your credit damage website, Bob, is you have a list of specific steps consumers should take if they're disputing something on their credit reports. So if you've been listening and you're not sure exactly how that works, and it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in, you can go to his website, SoCalCreditDamage.com, and you can look at that list of how to handle a credit report dispute. Bob, I want to talk a little bit about debt collectors now. The debt collection industry generates more complaints to the Federal Trade Commission than any other industry, and the numbers continue to go up. So what happens to a consumer, very first thing, when they hear from a debt collector? What should they do and what shouldn't they do?
Well, the first thing they need to do is they need to write to the, you know, the debt collector is supposed to contact them, by mail, basically, you know, within a very short period of time after the debt collector first contacts them. So what the creditor needs to do is they need to get the address of the debt collector, which, you know, you can ask for. I mean, the debt collector may be a nasty person, but all the consumer needs to do is to say, I want to send a debt validation letter. And that is a specific provision of the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Where basically, if you write a letter, and again, write it and send it certified, because you always want proof that the debt collector received it, an unscrupulous debt collector will deny that they ever received the letter. So you want to send a debt validation letter, and all that is a brief letter where you're basically saying, I want to get all the information about this debt. I want to know who the original creditor was. I want to know, what the date of default was. I want to know what the balance was. If you're charging me any interest or any fees on top of the debt, I want to know all about those. I mean, in short, I always advise my clients and my friends, keep these letters very, very professional. Don't get into, you nasty person, and don't start calling them names. You know, remember, everything you send out to a debt collector, to a credit bureau, if later on down the road you have to file a lawsuit under the Fair Credit Reporting Act or the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, that letter may be shown to the judge or the jury. And if you're using profanity, if you're being nasty, or anything like that, that's going to obviously count as points against you, and it's going to reduce the value and the viability of your case.
I think it's very important, though, to emphasize what you just explained, which is if a debt collector calls you, you have the right. They are required under this federal law to send you something in writing. This is not something that you just want to have. They are required to send it. So if a debt collector is saying, you need to pay us today and we're not going to send you anything, they're breaking the law.
They are absolutely breaking the law. And what you need to do is you are absolutely right. It's like while you were on commercial, I don't know if you were listening, Jerry, but you had a little plug for your website and for your book, Debt Collection Answers. And it was, some guy was saying, I don't want to talk to you, ma'am. I want payment by Friday. And if we don't get payment by Friday, we're going to make your life very unpleasant, very miserable. You know, they can say that, but what consumers need to know is you've got a right to have your debt validated. You've got a right to get the information about your debt. Now, the other thing that consumers need to know is for a 30-day period after you have sent off your debt validation letter and you've requested validation of the debt, and after they receive it, that's another reason you have to send it certified mail, they're not allowed to debt collect you. They're not allowed to call you up and harass you and bother you and pester you. They're not allowed. You know, by law, you know, during those 30 days, they're supposed to be gathering the information and providing it to you of exactly the specifics of, you know, the debt that they're trying to collect. Now, Jerry, one thing that your readers need to know is that a lot of times these debts, you know, again, you know this, but not everyone does know it. You know, a lot of times these debts are bundled into big, you know, portfolios. And, you know, the only thing that the debt collector is getting is a one page computer screen. You know, from some download that he's just received when he bought the debts, you know, saying that Joe Jones, you know, owes money, you know, owes $1,000, you know, for a charge on a Macy's card from 10 years ago or whatever. I mean, you know, there's very, very little information. So a lot of times, when you send your debt validation letter off, the only thing you'll get is that one page screen print. Now, we take the position in my office that is not sufficient compliance with the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. I mean, Bob Brennan has a, you know, if they're saying that Bob Brennan has a, you know, a bill from Macy's from 8 or 10 years ago, I mean, obviously I don't have the paperwork on it. You know, I want to see the information from the original creditor. So, you know, when people are asking me advice on this, and, you know, they send off their debt validation letter and they get their one page screen print from the debt collector, and it's very, very sparse in information, write them back a certified letter. And just say, you know, I appreciate you sending me your one-page, you know, sparse information, but I need to get, you know, the bills or the statements from the original creditor to show that I owe this money, because I have no record that I owe this money. And, you know, I got to tell you something. You know, if you persist on this, you know, no guarantees. You never know what a judge is going to do and so forth and so on. But a lot of times you're going to get that debt dismissed if you do get sued, because you basically put them in the position of having to prove that you owe the debt, and they couldn't do it. And then at that point, you know, honestly, I would start just ignoring their calls. If they cannot prove that you owe the debt, which is their burden, you know, to validate the debt, then, you know, you may get sued. To make sure your listeners understand, you may not win these cases, you know, all the time. I mean, I've heard some stories about some small claims judges who, you know, have granted judgment against some people that I was trying to help out in these cases, and it honestly made no sense. But remember, I mean, when they go down to court, when a debt collector goes down to court to prove that you owe a debt, you know, the rules of evidence apply. And some one page screen print saying that Joe Jones owes this Macy's card from 10 years ago, a lot of judges are going to say that is not sufficient evidence. That is hearsay. That is, you know, there's no authentication for it. Let's get someone here from Macy's, you know, who could say, you know, who has a copy of Joe Jones's account to show that he owes the debt. A lot of times they can't do it.
And in the vast majority of these cases, Bob, the consumer never shows up when they're sued by a debt collector.
They're not even
there to challenge the debt collection company's assertions that they owe the bill, or it may be too old. That's one of the other things you mentioned. Just, we only have a couple of minutes left, but tell me how the statute of limitations works.
Well, the statute of limitations is a law in every single jurisdiction in this country, and you know, basically, unfortunately, what we have is we have a different statute of limitations among the different states. So, for instance, you're in Florida; I'm currently in California. The statute of limitations is different in Florida than in California. However, every single state in the union, every single state, all 50 states have a statute of limitations for a breach of a written contract or a breach of a written obligation. And what you need to do is you need to, you know, yourself or your own state, you know, look at what that statute of limitations is, or rather not for your own state, but for the state where you were living when you incurred the debt. Like, let's say, you know, I went to college in New Jersey. So, you know, and let's say I incurred a debt from the 1970s in New Jersey. You know, I would have to know what the statute of limitations was in New Jersey, even though I'm currently living in California. What the statute of limitations says is that the creditor or the person who's entitled to bring the lawsuit, they have a fixed period of time to bring that lawsuit, or they lose the right to bring that lawsuit. So, for instance, in California, for breach of a written obligation, for breach of a written contract, such as a credit card debt, the statute of limitations is 4 years. If you, if a debt collector is contacting you on a debt that is 5 years old, where the default happened more than 5 years ago, there's no way that they can collect on it. You can win on the basis of the statute of limitations.
Bob, we're running out of time, so I'm going to let you go because I want to make sure that I give out your contact information again. And I also want to remind my listeners that Bob has a lot of good information on his website about this topic. You can go to brennanlaw.com, BrennanLaw.com. He also is the co-author of Debt Collection Answers, the California edition. Thanks for joining me, Bob.
Jerry, thank you so much for having me as your guest.
You've been listening to Talk Credit Radio. We're live every week and on the web 24/7 at talkcreditradio.com. Download episodes online or find our podcasts in the iTunes store. Just search for Talk Credit Radio. They're free. I'm Jerry Detweiler. Thanks for joining me.